Please turn to Luke chapter 4. Introduce our lesson. We want to read verses 16 through 21. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16 and reading down through verse 21. And he, speaking of Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus was in the synagogue in Nazareth, where he was raised, and he was given an opportunity to read scripture. It's my understanding that when the Jews assembled in the synagogue, they would have a reading from the Law of Moses, a reading from the writings of the prophets, and then an opportunity would be given to anyone who wanted to offer a word of exhortation. I think we see that coming to play in the New Testament when the Apostle Paul would go into the synagogue, and he would certainly respond to that opportunity to offer a word of exhortation. He was a Jew, so he would have been a welcome guest in the synagogue, but he was there to preach Christ and him crucified. So that seems to have been the custom of the Jews when they went into the synagogue. Well, Jesus was given an opportunity to read from the scripture, and he found the place where it was written in the book of Isaiah. In our Bibles, it's designated as chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And he showed from that great prophecy of Isaiah that he came to accomplish several very important objectives. This morning, we showed how Jesus came to give sight to the blind. And we spent most of our lesson dealing with the miracle that Jesus performed that is recorded in John chapter 9, where Jesus gave sight to a man who was born blind. Now this evening, we want to turn our attention to another objective that is mentioned in the verses that Jesus read in the synagogue. We want to concentrate for a little while on how Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. I've noticed something just the last few days. Perhaps you've noticed it too. There have been a number of times when I've seen people from Ukraine being interviewed. And just the last few days, I did something a little different. I looked at their eyes. I listened to what they said. And sometimes that's a challenge because of the language barrier. But the eyes speak a universal language. And as I look at people from Ukraine, as they're talking about the situation that they're facing, I see people who are brokenhearted. I thought to myself, how do I find an illustration of what is involved in being brokenhearted? Just look into the eyes of the Ukrainian people. When they talk about what their families are facing, the sacrifices that are being made, and the devastation that they're suffering, these poor people are brokenhearted. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, we know that he came to give sight to the blind. He did that on many occasions. On that one special occasion that we studied this morning, Jesus gave sight to a man who was born blind. He did not suffer blindness because of an accident. He was born in that condition. And the man himself told the Pharisees that it had never been heard before that someone had given sight to someone who was born blind. So Jesus did something that was unique. He demonstrated his divine power by giving that man his sight. But we also need to be impressed with the fact that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, because sometimes our hearts are broken. And we need to appreciate the fact that the Lord is able to help us. We want to base our lesson on the great invitation that Jesus gave. It's found in Matthew chapter 11. So let's turn to Matthew 11. And we want to read verses 28, 29, and 30. I never cease to be amazed at the number of songs in our song books that contain, if not the whole invitation, a part of the invitation that Jesus gave on this occasion. We just sang a few of them. There are many others. This is a wonderful invitation, and we want to base our lesson upon it. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Keep in mind that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And he invites those who are brokenhearted to come to him. And he will provide a very special blessing. Let's first spend a few moments talking about the one who gave the great invitation. And it's important for us to do that because Jesus said, "Come unto me." Well, the invitation is to come to the Lord, so we need to know who we're approaching. Jesus, of course, is the Son of God. He is the one who extends this wonderful invitation. Let's back up and read verses 25, 26, and 27. Jesus at that time answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Jesus clearly identified himself as God's divine Son. He referred to the God as Father several times, and he talked about the very special relationship that they have. So Jesus, the Son of God, is the one who offers this very beautiful invitation that we're basing our lesson upon. Look at verse 29, though, of Matthew 11. In extending this wonderful invitation, Jesus described himself as being meek and lowly in heart. Now later, Jesus would demonstrate his meekness when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. This was prophesied years earlier in Zechariah chapter 9 in verse 9. But let's read Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 21. We want to read the first five verses. And as we read these verses, just picture Jesus and what he's doing and how he demonstrated his meekness. Now, in giving his great invitation for people to come to him, he said, "I'm meek and lowly in heart." This is a great demonstration of the Lord's meekness. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he shall send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass." Jesus demonstrated his great meekness by going into Jerusalem, riding upon a donkey. Now, what kind of Messiah were the Jews looking for? They were searching for a great military leader who would run the Romans out of Palestine, perhaps riding in on a magnificent, powerful stallion. They completely missed the picture. You see, this had been prophesied years earlier. This was God's plan, that Jesus would enter Jerusalem in the spirit of meekness. How much more meek could the Lord possibly be than riding upon a lowly donkey? Well, all that was prophesied. God's plan was being fulfilled. But Jesus demonstrated his meekness in a very powerful way. But when we think about the Lord being meek, we don't have to confuse meekness with weakness. Because while Jesus was certainly meek and lowly in heart, he was by no means weak. Now, since we're in Matthew chapter 21, let's notice something that he did after he went into the city of Jerusalem. We know how he entered Jerusalem. It was in the spirit of meekness. He was riding upon a donkey. He took care of some business after he got into Jerusalem. Look at verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. I have thought many times, I would love to have been present to see what took place on that occasion. There were people in the temple doing some things that they should not have been doing. Now, as I've said many times, when we think about this, we need to remember that the law of Moses made provision for people who had to travel some distance to Jerusalem to go to the temple to worship, to purchase their animals for sacrifice after they made their trips. It would not be very easy to bring animals some distance to Jerusalem to offer them as sacrifices. So the law of Moses made provision for the children of Israel traveling some distance to bring money in their hands. And after they got to Jerusalem, they would be able to purchase their animals for sacrifice. It's unfortunate, but this was turned into a money-making venture. Also, when people traveled from one place to another, there had to be an exchange of currency. There were people there taking advantage of others in that regard. Jesus saw what was taking place. He turned those tables over, and he ran those people out. Now, he did this twice during his ministry, one at the beginning of his ministry, and then again toward the end of it. Now, this is the same one who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, demonstrating his meekness. But when he saw some things taking place that were not right, he stood up and he was counted. Well, sometimes occasions present themselves when God's people have to stand up and be counted against that which is wrong. That's what the Lord did. But during all this, he was still meek. But we must not confuse the Lord's meekness with weakness, because Jesus was not weak by any means. Well, the point that the Lord is making, though, when he gives the great invitation and he says that he is meek and lowly in heart, we need to understand that the Lord will not force anyone to come to him because he's meek and lowly in heart. He does not force anyone to come to him. It's up to us as to whether we will accept his invitation or turn it down. So Jesus offers the great invitation. We know who he is. He is God's divine Son. He invites us to come to him. He's meek and lowly in heart. While he extends the invitation, we have to determine and make the choice as to whether we will accept the invitation or turn it down. Well, if we actually love the Lord, It will motivate us to come to him on his terms. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So love is the motivation for approaching the Lord on his terms. Well, in addition to being meek, Jesus is able to relate to our weaknesses. Let's look at Hebrews 4 and read verse 15. This is the passage that we like to refer to many, many times. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So when the Lord invites us to come to him, he's meek and lowly in heart. He's not going to force us to come to him. We have to make the decision as to whether we will accept his invitation or turn it down. However, we know what will motivate us to respond to the Lord. It's true love for him. But when we think about the Lord's invitation, we need to keep in mind that he is able to relate to our weaknesses because of what he went through during his ministry. He was tempted or tried in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Well, the point is, Jesus is able to empathize with us and our weaknesses. That's one reason why he came to earth. And that's emphasized several times in the book of Hebrews. Jesus did not come in the form of an angel. Rather, he came as a descendant of Abraham. The point is, he came in the flesh so that he could face the same trials that we face and be able to help us in our weaknesses. Well, we know who gave the great invitation, and we know a few things about him. Jesus is the one who offers this invitation. He's meek and lowly in heart. He is God's divine Son, and he's able to relate to our weaknesses. Well, let's talk about the ones who are invited. We know who offers the invitation. Who is invited to come to the Lord? Well, the Lord, in giving this invitation, extends it to all who labor and are heavy laden. Now, those who labor are exhausted and worn out from burdens or grief. Those who are heavy laden are burdened down from the weight of sin. These are the ones that the Lord invites to come to him. And notice it says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, as we think about those whom Jesus invites to come to him, we need to keep in mind that he has compassion on everyone in these categories. Look at Matthew chapter 9, and let's read verse 36. Matthew 9 and verse 36. Now in chapter 10, Jesus gave what we call the limited commission. The end of chapter 9 helps us understand why Jesus gave that limited commission. Verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." Now why? "Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus saw people who labored and were heavy laden. He saw people who were fainting. They were tired and worn out. And he saw people who lacked direction. They were scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus came to provide guidance and direction. But he hadn't been able to reach these people yet. That's one reason why he gave the limited commission to get others involved in reaching people. So he got the 12 disciples involved. They reached many people. And according to the Gospel of Luke, he got 70 others involved. Well, the point is, the Lord has compassion on those who labor and are heavy laden. You know, during his ministry, Jesus got tired. When he came to Samaria, he sent the disciples into town to purchase some food. And he stayed by Jacob's well. It was there in John chapter 4 that he had a discussion with a Samaritan woman. But I think if you'll take the time to read it, you will see that it says Jesus was weary with his journey. He was tired. He was tired just like we get tired. Well, the Lord has compassion on people who labor and are heavy laden because of what he went through during his ministry. But we need to keep in mind, he came to heal the brokenhearted. And isn't it interesting that in order to heal the brokenhearted, it was necessary for Jesus to experience being brokenhearted? I sometimes wonder, how was the Lord able to continue after all the things that he went through during his ministry? Things that would have discouraged many others. Jesus continued doing his Father's will. He knew that he had a mission to fulfill. He was mindful of what his objectives were, and he was dedicated to doing the Father's will. Now, the good news is those who accept the Lord's invitation and who come to him on his terms will receive a special blessing. Now, in just a minute, we want to talk about, maybe 2 minutes, we want to talk about the blessing that the Lord provides. But before we do so, let's consider a few illustrations in the Gospel of Matthew where people actually came to Jesus who were obviously brokenhearted, and Jesus blessed them. Remember the invitation. First, remember why Jesus came. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He gives his great invitation for everyone who labors and who is heavy laden to come to him. Let's look at just a few people who came to the Lord and received a blessing from him. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8 and begin reading at verse 5. I was trying to pick just one particular example of someone who came to Jesus who was brokenhearted and they received a blessing from him, but there are so many, it was just hard to choose one, so I decided to look at about 3 of them. And these are just a few of the many examples found in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 8, let's start at verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, I'll not get into the details of what this servant was afflicted with, but suffice it to say, this centurion was very concerned about his servant. We would say that he was one who was brokenhearted. He had a servant that he thought a lot of, who was very ill. What did he do about the situation? He came to the one who came for the purpose of healing the brokenhearted. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I wonder, when Jesus performed this great miracle, if perhaps he took just a few seconds and reflected upon what Isaiah wrote about him, saying that he came to heal the brokenhearted. Here's a man who was obviously bothered by the situation that he faced. His servant was very ill. He came to the one who was able to help him, and he received a special blessing. I think it's safe to say, since this man was a centurion, he would have been a Gentile. He was a member of the Roman army. It's my understanding that a centurion would be in charge of about 100 men. So he was a man under authority. When he spoke, his soldiers did what he told them to do. And even though he had that kind of authority as a military officer, he acknowledged his humility before the Lord. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. All you have to do is speak the word and my servant will be healed. Now notice that Jesus said to those who followed, there were other people present. Jesus said something for their benefit. He highly commended the faith of this military officer. Well, don't you know that man was happy when his servant was healed? Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. We'll start at verse 18. We'll actually read about two people who came to the Lord who, in my judgment, were certainly brokenhearted, but they received special blessings from Christ. Matthew 9 and verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Teresa and I don't have any children, but I can just imagine how this man felt when his daughter was at the point of death. I've been with parents on several different occasions when they had a child that was very sick, and even a few times when the little children would die. And let me tell you, that's an unpleasant situation. This man, I believe it's safe to say, was brokenhearted. His little daughter is at the point of death. But what does he do? He went to the one who came to heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. So he's on his way to this man's home where the little girl is very sick. But before he could take care of that situation, another one developed. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now here's another lady. I believe it's safe to say she's brokenhearted. She's been afflicted with a disease for 12 years. That's a long time. What does she do? She comes to the one who came to heal the brokenhearted. But Jesus turned him about and saw, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. She came to the one who came for the purpose of healing the brokenhearted, and her heart was healed. She received a blessing from Christ. But remember, the Lord was on this way to the ruler's house to take care of his daughter, who's at the point of death. Verse 23 says, And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Now the following words have caused me a lot of concern over the years. The next few words say, and they laughed him to scorn. That was the response of the people present when Jesus said, "This girl's not dead, she's just sleeping." They laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Now, I believe other accounts indicate that Jesus took the girl's parents and at least a couple of his disciples and went in. He took care of that situation. Now, these are just a few illustrations in two chapters from one gospel account in which someone who was brokenhearted came to Jesus and he took care of them. So when the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," he will do that. I believe these illustrations show that to be the case. Well, let's be sure that we understand the blessing that the Lord provides. Jesus said that he gives rest in verse 28. And in verse 29, he described this as rest unto your souls. Jesus, during his ministry, performed miracles and healed people of various diseases and illnesses and even brought people back to life. But let's be sure that we understand what the Lord was talking about when he gives his great invitation and he mentioned rest. It's rest unto your souls. This is spiritual rest, or as I like to call it, tranquility of the soul. That just has a majestic sound to it, doesn't it? That's what the Lord came to provide. Well, let's look at a few specific blessings that are included in spiritual rest. One is forgiveness of sins. And in Acts 2 and verse 38, the Apostle Peter announced, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those were people who had cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were the ones present when Jesus was crucified. And now after Peter preached to them, and he was joined by his fellow apostles, and he showed that Jesus had been resurrected from the grave and that he is both Lord and Christ, they were pricked in their hearts and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter told them what to do. And remember, Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 had said that he would give the keys of the kingdom to the apostle Peter. Everything was just falling into place. Well, there was a great response on that occasion. About 3,000 obeyed the gospel on that one very special day. Well, Jesus is the one who provides forgiveness. He grants forgiveness to people who are outside of his body, who come to him on his terms. We know what his terms are. But after entering his body, we still need forgiveness. And the Lord provides that. This is something we've been talking about in our study of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So when we think about the fact that the Lord provides rest, this is a spiritual blessing. Included in that would be the forgiveness of sins. You can't find it from any other source. The Lord is the one who provides it. Well, when we think about spiritual rest, we think about life. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus mentioned that. In the latter part of this verse, he said, "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." Jesus came to provide the abundant life. Those who are brokenhearted are invited to come to him for rest. Included in that rest would be this life that Jesus talked about, the abundant life. Let's find something else that's included in the spiritual rest that's mentioned in John 14 and verse 27. John 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus mentioned peace in this passage. And that certainly is included in the spiritual rest that the Lord provides. Let's look at John 15 and verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Joy is a special blessing, and it's included in the rest that the Lord provides. Sometimes when Jesus healed someone who was brokenhearted, their responses are recorded. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes the responses of other people who observed what took place are recorded. People were amazed at the Lord's great power, and they acknowledged him as God's divine Son. But sometimes the people who were healed, we read about their responses, and they were happy. They were filled with joy. One who comes to mind is the eunuch from Ethiopia. After he was baptized into Christ, he went on his way rejoicing. Well, let's mention something else that's found in Hebrews 4 and verse 16. We read verse 15 earlier to show that Jesus was tempted on all points like as we are, yet without sin. But let's consider what's written in verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now notice especially that mercy and grace are mentioned. They're included in the spiritual rest that the Lord provides. Can't find mercy and grace from any other source. Now it is true that the Bible teaches us to extend mercy to others. The Bible also teaches us to grow in grace. But if you want real mercy and grace, you have to go to the Lord to find it, and he'll give it. Then finally, we want to consider something that's mentioned in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Now, we're looking at specific blessings that are included in the spiritual rest that the Lord provides. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Notice especially in verse 3 that Peter mentions hope. Hope is a special blessing. It can spur us on. If we don't have it, we won't be motivated to go any further. But hope is included in the spiritual rest that the Lord provides. Now, we could mention many other specific blessings, but I think these make the point. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest," he was talking about rest unto your souls, or spiritual rest. Some specific blessings that we just mentioned are forgiveness of sins, the abundant life, peace, joy, mercy and grace, and hope. Well, to receive the rest that the Lord provides, we must come to him. We must take his yoke upon us. And we must learn of, or literally from, him. You see, he has requirements. And if we will meet his requirements, he will bless us in return. And yes, the Lord gives us some responsibilities, but let's remember that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I enjoy studying about occasions when people who came to the Lord and received a special blessing from him. The Lord was touched by the needs of people that he dealt with. He had compassion, and he blessed everyone who came to him. Well, I don't know about you, but I find it very comforting and very reassuring that during times of the heart being broken, we can come to the Lord on his terms and receive rest. While I was driving to the service just a little while ago, a lady from the Ukraine was being interviewed, and the person doing the interview said, "What can we," and he was speaking as individuals, "do for the people of Ukraine?" And I didn't have time to listen to all of her response, but in my mind I thought, well, we can pray. Those who have the responsibility in the government will have to make some weighty decisions. Putting off making weighty decisions results in loss of life. But we need to pray that God in his providence will take care of this situation. I've been thinking a lot about Vladimir Putin lately. And he is the embodiment of evil. I know some people would not appreciate that, but that's the way it is. But I seem to recall in the Old Testament a great and a powerful king named Nebuchadnezzar who was lifted up with pride. And he spent some time living out in the wilderness like an animal. And finally, his pride was broken. He acknowledged the one true God, and he was restored to his kingdom. Now, I'm quite confident in saying that Vladimir Putin is an atheist because he is a communist and is based on atheism. If he would just humble himself and acknowledge the one true God, turn to his word, he could learn about the salvation of his soul and think about how many lives could be spared and how many broken hearts would not be broken. Well, we can pray about this situation. Now, I believe that other steps will have to be taken, but others will have to deal with that. But I can tell you one thing, we can pray. And we need to pray for God's providence to take care of this situation. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand to sing the first verse of the song that's been selected. Brother Jay.